don't know why I just love that. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very V-A-R-Y Necessary Podcast.
Yes.
I mean,
since the beginning of time, and I posted a video of this earlier today, of this little girl singing her heart out. I don't know what the fuck she was singing about, but she was singing her heart out, and I was just like, but it inspired me so much because Black people, since the beginning of time, they don't give a damn if they don't know the words or not.
Because we will make up our own.
And sing the wrong words. Yes. To sing the song wrong words with such passion is just, you know, phenomenal to me. I just don't.
I mean, who sings the right lyrics?
Really?
I mean, really. Everybody.
Everybody
at one point in time has thought they heard something different than what the song actually said.
Mr. DJ. I want you to play this little song by this little baby, and I'm gonna let y'all see her face while she doing it, and y'all tell me. Now I'm gonna post the song to our Instagram so everyone can experience what you are about to hear. But I want y'all to listen to the passion in her voice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And,
go ahead, baby.
Sing your song. That's how y'all be singing now.
Yes.
Yes.
But she's just happy.
Yes. She see red, yellow,
joy. Yep.
And green.
And those colors are great colors to see.
Yep.
Hold on.
There you go.
There you go. What you want to be. All affirmations.
Okay.
Listen.
But she said in the song, you can be a wachabi. And she said it with such passion.
She said.
And I said, wait a god. I can be a wachabi?
What chabby?
I guess that's could be what I want to be.
Whatever. It's whatever you want it to
be. So the dad was playing the piano behind her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, and he has the words going across because it's hard to kind of articulate what she's saying. But he was supporting her in her, you know, her song. But basically her favorite, the gist of the song was her favorite color was yellow. Mm-hmm. Out of all the colors that she listed, her favorite is yellow. And she felt like she was so inspired because she knows that as a little Black girl, she can be anything she wants to be. And so that's what I took from that song. But baby, I was just listening to the song and how passionate she was singing. And you'll get the full, you know, deets of it when you see it. I almost got teary-eyed a little bit.
It's inspiring to see a little young girl,
mm-hmm.
or just young people give passion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's you know, just to give the passion. Think about when our children were in talent shows or school plays and have them kids, you can't even understand what they're saying, but they're giving that speech with all their might.
Right.
And they sound like, womp, 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 womp.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. but the parents.
Messing up the words.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Saying the speech wrong, loud.
But they proud of themselves.
But they are very proud.
And I'm just happy that she's able to express herself like that. And she's not ashamed, not afraid to do
right.
it. So she'll be prepared to, you know, do speeches and mm-hmm. all of that stuff. So this is probably not the last we'll hear from.
But
the
you think about it.
We
don't get this fear. We don't get this shame. We don't get this, you know, feeling of maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, until it's spoken upon us. She's young. Nobody has dampened her spirit yet. So she's not afraid of anything mm-hmm. yet. So why is it that when we're so young, yet so ill-equipped, we have the power to do anything. Mm-hmm. But then when we get older and life done kicked our ass a couple times and people done spoke ill will against us.
You know why? Because we didn't have anyone to support us when we were out there trying.
Right.
And like her father playing. He mm-hmm. didn't, not one time,
no,
stop,
baby. No, baby,
correct
that's not
her.
The right mm-hmm. words.
You
right.
know, he yeah. played, she stayed on tune. I mean, not
no,
the right,
not
right.
really.
No, well, not on tune, but right. within melody.
Right.
She stayed within melody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how many times have we tried and got kicked down?
Yeah.
Right.
Because we didn't say it right or say it how you want to say it or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, you know, as children, we need to applaud and let things be.
Mm-hmm.
Correct
right.
it. Correct it in its right time. But hey, that little girl was doing it.
She was.
Now well, you know, they started that in school, Vaughn, where they will not correct the child, like maybe kindergarten, first grade, maybe second grade. I think they start structuring. But if the child writes sky and they put S-K-Y-E-E or something like that, they allow the child to write the sentences how or write the word how
oh,
it
okay.
sounds out to them. So
that's not only, that's at the high school level too.
Whoa.
Like
really?
With testing,
mm-hmm.
like let's say the EOC testing,
uh-huh.
English, I taught it for years.
Right.
On the rubric, they have nothing about spelling.
You are right.
There's nothing that says spelling factors into the score.
Gotcha.
Grammar doesn't factor into the score.
Ooh.
Oh.
So all it is the only thing that factors into the score is
comprehension,
and the structure of it. Is there an introduction, body, and a conclusion? Is there
yep.
a clear introduction, body, conclusion? Did they use evidence from the text to support their answer? And did they make a connection, whether it's a text-to-text, text-to-world, text-to-self, connection? If they do all three of those things, they get an A or a B on the EOC. Spelling, grammar, run-on sentences, all of that does not play a part. Grammar, matter of fact, I'm sorry, it does, but it's only like
it's a small
maybe
percentage.
a half a point off or something.
Yeah, like it's nothing that's going to hurt the grade enough.
Okay,
so, and
but
then I was
you
also,
know what?
And then I was also an EOC grader,
right?
And when you're in the room and you're grading this stuff, like literally stuff be misspelled. And my first time going, because I did it twice. My first time going, I'm like, okay, this is a run on, this. We got to mark off for this. They was like, no, you have to go by the rubric. The rubric says we're not looking at spelling. I said, but if I don't know where the sentence stops and the next one begins.
How can you continue?
Now,
but then I would think that's off for structure.
Yeah.
Yes, it does not, because the structure, if you look at the rubric, it states, all it says on the structure is there is a clear introduction,
right,
body, and conclusion.
Wow. So it doesn't matter how it's put together as long as there's...
So now we got Taekwon doing the business memo for the office.
No, Taekwon won't.
And it's looking like his text message with his homeboy.
Mm-hmm. That's set up for failure right
there. You want to know why Taekwon can do it? Because now we have what? GPT chat.
Yeah.
And all
AI.
Of that could
just
restructure everything that you're saying and make it sound very professional.
I was an advocate for, what was the one? Grammarly.
Grammarly. I like Grammarly.
I like Grammarly because Grammarly walks them through the mistakes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It shows
yep.
them what they wrote.
Right.
And what the mistake is.
Mm-hmm.
With ChatGPT and some of these other
It
AI
just
programs,
rewrites it for them.
No. They
Does
just,
Grammarly
they just
have an
they
app?
Have yeah,
yeah.
Grammarly has an app.
Yeah.
All they got to do is
it
put
It should
in,
be on your... Oh, well, see, y'all have the iPhone. I don't know if
I
it's
have ChatGPT.
No, I'm talking about Grammarly. Grammarly is on Samsung, all Samsung, Android devices.
So
yeah, devices.
Because it's a Google... It's a Google application. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. backed by Google. But right. with ChatGPT, you just put in the information that you need said, and then it spits out whatever it is.
Mm.
Now, there are now there's technology that teachers use to see whether they use ChatGPT or not. Well, first off, one, the kids, if the kid says a word that is just not in, it's like copy and pasting. A kid said a word, is a word in their paper that I know they do not have an idea what this word means.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not quoting a text.
Wait a minute. You don't know what they know.
Oh, no. Like some of these words.
Like acquiesce?
And they get up to say that.
Why is Taquan using acquiesce?
And can't pronounce it.
Yeah, like I always tell them, hey.
He's saying acquiesce.
No, you got to get up in front of the class and you got to read your paper. Part of the grade is presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get past a word and I know acquiesce, acquiesce. Nope, that's not it. That's not it. Or Seagram's ginger ale. They talking about Seagram's. No. Seagram's, nigga. Like, you little dumbass.
On the song that little baby wrote, he said Seagram's. Because he made, what do you call it? It's not an analogy, but you know how when you compare
it's
two
a pun.
Words.
He made a pun.
A pun mm-hmm. out of, like,
yeah.
They said that. Jay-Z and another rapper were one to take words and phrases.
Right. Yeah, they are.
Metaphors and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, mm-hmm. to metaphorically, like, make it make sense.
But that's an art. Ooh. That's an art.
It is. But
like, these little ninjas ain't making art.
They think they are rappers. What you talking about? Which leads us, we done got off track. Hold on. Which leads us into our show for today. We're going to get back on track. So we were talking about parenting and social circles and family and how sometimes we get off track with not correcting things that needed to be said and conversations that needed to be had. And who else better to have those conversations with than the one that's closest to you, which is Your parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, engineer, can you play our first video for the day? Well, second for the day.
My mother, she went through hell, God, and you know that. So whatever she's dealing with, you talk to her about it. Don't send me. He said, you need to go talk to your mother. Because that love, that 20% you want to give your wife, you'll never be able to give that to her because you don't trust your mother. And if you don't trust your mother, you will never trust another woman. You need to go fix it with your mother, son. That was the hardest conversation I've ever had in my life. But I said to my mom, why'd you lie to me? And when I went in the mainframe and I fixed that, I was able to give Didi 120% of my love. Some of you, for real, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You got stuff you ain't fixing, you playing. You're trying to move forward when you ain't fixed the mainframe. And until you fix the mainframe, ain't nothing else gonna work. Don't you do
that? Was powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I love Eric Thomas.
Yeah, he's good.
He's just a really powerful. What did you take from that, Susan? You're the resident therapist.
Everything he says is 100% correct. You know, I'm a big advocate of therapy. And I always say I'm a therapist that's in therapy. And so here's the thing I want people to understand. Therapy is not going to work unless you want it to work.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
when you're ready to put everything, and when I mean everything, I'm not saying go to your first appointment and just tell everything that's going on with you, but let's unpeel. Let's start talking about certain issues that you're having at that time. And then you can go on and find out what the underlying issues are. But it has to start with you. And you have to make the decision to say, I want this change. It is not going to be, you know, a lot of people think that when you're healing, that you're going to be flying around a grassy meadow with butterflies and ladybugs coming out of everything. That is not it. Healing, mm-hmm. healing, you go through some stuff.
snot coming out your nose, you crying, you riding down the road one day, and you trying to figure out why in the world tears are falling down my eyes.
Because it's a purge.
Right, it is. And it's a great purge. It's okay. Detox. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to feel shame. But you have to... And don't waddle in it long. You have to, you can do all this and make progress. It's small steps. That's what I want people to understand. And then you will understand yourself better, and you will then be able to understand and empathize with others better and know how to communicate with them better. A lot of issues stem from childhood, and you think that maybe those childhood traumas are not triggering for you in adulthood, when sometimes, in fact, that they are. Like, things can happen, and then you're like, wait a minute, where did all this animosity come from towards this other person? Like you said, this as we were coming down here, you know, that transference and that countertransference, especially me being a therapist, I knew what certain topics, like if a child, and you know, if a child was molested or something like that, y'all, I couldn't take those cases, or I couldn't take that child, due to the fact, like, sometimes the kind of transference will come out. I don't, you know, it, the best of the best of therapists can tell you that sometimes it will come out. That's why we need therapy, because we're dealing with you all stuff that come in plus ours.
Yeah, it's triggering to you.
So when the transference comes, when you're able to identify it, that is so good. And then you give yourself some time and say, okay, I you can talk to yourself, you can journal, you can talk to your therapist and say, this is what happened. So how can I stop that thought and that process the next time? And then that's where the cognitive behavior therapy interventions and activities come in, and what you will do. But the one thing about therapy, again, if you are not ready, it is not going to work for you. But if you are ready for accountability, if you are ready to be vulnerable, if you are ready to do the work deep down, then therapy will work for you.
So I like how we were making the analogies of the metaphors before we listened to the show, because as your wellness resident person, nurse and, you know, wellness professional, the detox. Remember how you said the running around in the fields and and the, you know, that's not how it's going to feel. It's the purge. Just think about how when you detox, what are you doing?
You're getting rid of all the impurities.
Like everything kind of correlates to something else. You can metaphorically parallel those two situations. The same way you purge in therapy to hone into the childhood trauma that has turned into the adult dysfunction. Let's say it again. The childhood trauma, that has turned into the adult dysfunction. That shit ain't just start. That was years of building up to that. So why do you think it's gonna be fixed overnight? You have to detox. And that detox may take years. But what Tabitha say? If you having a bad day, don't go fucking up nobody else's. Tabitha ain't say fucking
up.
Well,
I think about...
But still, if you know you not healed, don't go creating relationships and getting involved with people knowing that you're fucked up.
But see, this is the thing. You said knowing.
Yeah.
And some people are unknowing, or sometimes when they think that they're okay, they'll go into a relationship and it'll trigger them. Something, you know, a conversation or whatever, it'll trigger them. And it's like, okay, why am I feeling like this? So they try to, you know, go through the, you know, motion and all of that stuff. And it's still, it's just like something still is not clicking together for them.
So just think about probiotics and prebiotics, right? Gut health. I think about the one that's for gut health. When things sit inside of us, it's toxins, right? And it has to release, whether it's through bowel movement,
Sweating, crying.
It has to release outward.
Right.
if we don't, it's going to kill us on the inside.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to break us down to where now we need emergency surgery. We need repairing. We need something that's going to revive us back.
Right.
And then guess what we're going to say? I'm going to do better. Think about just our normal lives. Right. When we take all this stuff in, information, heartache, you know, everything that we take in from the world, and mm-hmm. we don't, like you
how
say,
how are you purging?
We don't release it. Guess mm-hmm. what's going to happen? We're going to break down mentally.
Yeah.
We're going to break down to the point where we're going to need to get repaired,
mm-hmm.
meaning may have to get not institutionalized, but have to be.
Yeah,
you know,
go into inpatient. Yeah. And inpatient, nothing
yes.
wrong with that.
And you have to fix yourself.
Right.
And then you have to say, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore to mm-hmm. myself. Like, it's the same thing. It's the same. If you don't take care of you, and if you don't address the issues that are going on from childhood trauma that leads to adult dysfunction, mm-hmm. you're hurting yourself. Not you're hurting everybody in the circle. Don't get me wrong, but ultimately it's you that's hurting.
Right.
And so I think all of that works together. Just from the top to the bottom, from the head to your toenails, everything works together. We have to make sure that we address these issues that's going on. We have to sit down and talk about it, because if we don't talk about it and we just let it sweep it under the rug, whether you talk to a therapist, talk to a friend, releasing, you mm-hmm. have to release it.
But I think mm-hmm. that's why I use that video with the conversation with the son and the mother, because here's my thing. The first relationship you have coming into the world is with who? Your mom.
Your parents.
Right. That's
yep.
the first person you bond with. You know, normal people anyway. Not, I ain't gonna say normal people anyway. But in normal situations, the first person you bond with is your mother.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be the easiest conversation to have versus talking to a stranger, a therapist, a friend, a partner. If you can't talk to your mama or the person who raised you, then how hard is it going to be for you to talk to someone else who has no physical or emotional connection with you? Y'all actually shared an umbilical connection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say, but I know lots of men who resent their mother, who cannot talk to their mother or fear. There are men who fear their mother, like having conversations with them. And you got to... But here's my thing. But yet you want to go out here and love a woman and you can't even talk to the woman who you have an actual physical and emotional connection to.
I disagree with that.
You know.
What you mean?
What you said? What?
I disagree with that. Like you pretty much that we can't, as men, we cannot communicate. We cannot be communicative with the woman that we love because we have not been communicative with our mother. I disagree.
No, I'm saying, what did he say? I could not give 100% of myself to my wife until I had a conversation with my mother. Yeah, there were things he had to heal from with his mother. A conversation had to be
had.
It's
not 100%.
That's what I'm saying.
For everyone.
That's what I'm
saying.
That's what I would disagree to. I don't think that it's...
It's not 100% for everyone, because some people can't overlook that relationship and say, I'm going to do differently than how I grew up.
That's how I attack.
But I will say this.
Because me and my mom...
That is the first form of rejection as a kid.
Right.
If there's no... Regardless, the rejection is if they take it in negatively or positively, that is the first form of rejection. If my mother, as a baby, as an infant, and don't know what's going on around them, uh-huh. mother is not present. As that child grows up,
or not a protector.
As that child grows up, he or she is gonna they're gonna know. They may not know what rejection
right.
is, but they know what it feels like.
Well, what I'm saying is I just don't see, I understand what you're saying.
So that person may not be able to open up to the next woman because now
right.
they're judging as a child.
You're not
they're judging
be there
every
for me.
Woman to say,
right.
are they like my mother?
Right.
Just because they're a woman. Now, can they outgrow that? Yes, because they are taking a stance on wanting different. They're taking a stance on saying, you know what? This is not my narrative. I'm going to do differently from what I was raised around or being treated as. But at in the back of the mind, that question is, or that feeling is always going to be there every time they think about their mother. You can try to block it.
No, it's not a blocking. Like,
but
like,
no, some people do block it. Some people will block it.
I'm gonna be a little personal.
Okay.
My mother just left. All right. I put her on a plane 2 days ago. It was time for her to go. She was here for 7 days. After about four, it's time to go. It's just too much. But she left, and while she was here, she tried to throw me a little birthday gathering with the friends, the numbers that she had.
Right.
And so they asked her to tell a story of the funniest time. Like, what was the funniest Yoshi story?
Oh.
As a kid.
Oh.
They were like, okay, she tells the story of the day I ran away.
Mm-hmm.
And when I woke up, and she says it's funny. I didn't, from the way she told the story, and I remember it, not as vivid as she does, of course, because she was an adult, and I was in third grade. So she says that I woke up and he was gone. When I went to sleep, he was there. When I woke up, he was gone. And all that was there was a note. And apparently what I wrote in the note is that I'm leaving because she hates me. That's what I thought as a third grader.
Uh-huh.
Because, and to this day, I don't think she hates me. I just think she gave my brother more grace than she gave me. And at the time, because I remember the incident.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I got in trouble for my brother because my brother would just tell her it was me and I would get my ass whooped and then it'd be done. And so telling my friends was like, yeah, you should run away. So I did.
Okay.
And there was that instance in which I've always felt that she favored my brother over me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then when I lived in Trinidad, because she sent us back to Trinidad because she financially could not. When her and my dad split, she financially couldn't take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
So she sent us to live in Trinidad with family. And my aunt died. When my aunt died, I didn't realize this till I went to therapy a couple years ago. Me and my brother were physically abused.
Mm-hmm.
Not sexually, physically.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother to this day still blames her. Me, I knew why I realized some things now. So
how does that work with your female relationship?
It doesn't affect it none. Because I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
For a man, it's not to me, to me and my observance of the men around me and in my circle, it's not the relationship with the mother that is the most influential. It's the relationship with the father that's the most influential for a young man. And I'm going to tell you why. The way I treated women was a direct reflection of what I saw my dad do. So all throughout my life, my dad has cheated. And all he would tell me is, I said, damn, daddy, that's another one. I love women, son. I don't know what to tell you. And my actions early on, and even, shit, when I got to college, even after college, was that. And the conversation I had with my mom about my issues, and the conversation I had with my dad about the stuff that I was doing, it was more influential by what my dad told me, because I was like, oh, you're just a fucked up individual. And I love my father to death.
Mm-hmm.
But my father rationalizes his behavior by saying, well, you know, son, because this is a conversation we had. I said, why all your, because I ain't never known you to be, my dad's 70 now.
Mm-hmm.
Has a wife, been married 5 years. They travel all the time. My dad doesn't cheat now. But he's cheated in every single relationship prior to this. My dad told me, he said, well, you know, son, when they took us out of slavery, they brought us here to be breeders.
Mm.
And that's where this type of mentality from the black man comes from. We were not brought here to be with one woman. When they brought us here, we were supposed to make other slaves. So we were taught a multiple mentality. He said that's why he was so attracted to the Muslim faith, because he's allowed to have multiple women as long as he can take care of them, which is similar to the slave mentality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I understand what you're saying.
And so for me, my relationship, I understand what y'all say about the mother thing, but for me being in a position where I had issues on both sides of the table.
Right.
My relationship with the stuff that my dad was doing was way more influential over me and my brother, because my dad ran drugs over a couple of countries.
Mm-hmm.
My brother went to jail the first time for running drugs. You know what I'm saying? And my dad was very, I would say, open about his relationship with right. doing that stuff. So when we're talking about it, like, I think if the person is raised in a single family household and it's just mom, I think in those instances, mom's relationship with them is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot negate the fact that even in a single parent home, his lack of ability to attach himself or open up to a woman also has to do with the fact that there's a lack of a man in his life that has shown him that type of particular, what you call, behavior.
Right.
Now, mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's not, it may not affect him. Like Bond said, in the back of your mind, it might be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, like, my mom has apologized to me multiple, for even last week, before she, son, I'm just so sorry. No, it's cool. Like, I don't harbor any resentment
right.
towards you. You know, because at the end of the day, I don't care what any man says. You have a decision to say whatever the hell you decide to do.
Right.
You know right from wrong. You decide to do wrong. And I think sometimes we lean on with this push for therapy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
People are making up excuses a lot of times for their behavior
right.
and saying, oh, well, I didn't realize. Nigga, you knew that shit was wrong. Like, you knew what you were doing.
And that's why I keep emphasizing. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead. You're good.
That's why I keep emphasizing, like, when we start about therapy, like, you have to be ready to do the work.
Yes.
It's your choice. It's the choice that you're going to make and say, hey, I'm here. I'm about to put all my stuff on the table so I can make better choices.
And some men are going to therapy because their woman is asking them to go.
Right. Not because they want to go.
So I think me and my ex, she wanted to go to couples therapy. I didn't want to go.
Right.
But I went to make her happy.
Right.
So our sessions.
So then it wasn't effective.
We were spending money for no reason. And then
spending money for no reason because she wanted it.
She was 100%.
Our first therapist was her friend. And I was right. open
no.
at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I was open at that moment. At that moment, yes. I was open. But you can't tell me every time, everything I open my mouth about, I'm wrong.
And it was biased.
See, that is why
it was biased.
Exactly. It is unethical for us to even give advice or some type of thing to our friends and family.
As much as to this day, I love her. Like,
right.
She ain't got no ethics at some point. No. So.
Right. But see, that's the thing. That's why, because it's been some times where people would come to me and I'm like, yes. because I know you.
I can't do this.
I'm going to refer you out.
Yeah, she has. She's said it to me.
I've had. Yeah, like, I can't do this because I'm too involved, or I'm even if I'm like third party connected to you, I'll still be like, no, I think I know a little bit too much about this situation. I'll refer you to some great therapists that I know.
Now, there is value in what you guys are saying, in the sense of have to open up whatever it is you're dealing with. You do have to talk to that person.
Right. Right.
So there was conversations me and my mom had.
Right.
I'm
right.
not discounting.
But you right. said that. You said as a child, you had to talk, well, in healing, you had to talk to, because you sustained trauma from both ends.
Yeah.
So you had to have a conversation with both parents. So what I'm saying is that is an isolated situation, Eric Thomas's, where he had to have the conversation with the mother.
Yeah.
Because there was no father.
And that's what I'm saying.
So there was no man to have a conversation with. He had to, like, basically talk to the mother.
Mm.
But, yeah, there's conversations that need to be had. I have an issue with my mother's, you know, way of parenting, as well as my father's absenteeism and his way of parenting. My issue with them is that neither one of them will acknowledge where they went wrong.
Mm.
And so that's going to always keep, like, my mom is always like, well, I did the best I could, and I think I was a great mom, and da da da. And don't get me wrong, I got a hell of a mama. I do. But my mama made a lot of mistakes, and I think my mom made a lot of mistakes because her mother didn't raise her. And I give her grace for that. But what you not gonna do, lady, is sit up here and act like you was June Cleaver,
because you were not. And that's what I want you to understand. And I've encouraged my mom, hey, let's do counseling together. But she don't want to talk about her. She want to talk about everything that's wrong with me. Well, that, but I need you to understand, nigga, right. You a part of the problem.
And see, that's what used to happen with when I would work with children and doing the individual therapy. They were like, well, what are we doing family therapy for? Because
yeah. You are,
majority of problems, yeah, some of it's hereditary, but majority of it is environmental, socially. Like if it's head on and the family, the mother feels like everything is coming from the child, where do you think it's coming from? Everything that's surrounding them majority of the time. So yes, you do need the family therapy so that one, you all can learn how to communicate, and two, so you all can see exactly maybe where some of this is stemming from. Not saying that it's just stemming from the parent. It could be a sibling rivalry thing, because siblings are very envious of one another, especially if one parent shows the other
case in
sibling
point.
More attention. Yeah. I mean, that can cause some strife, and it leads on into adult years, and then the grandchildren, if you feel like those grandchildren get special favoritism and all of that.
When I say it's five of us, I'm the oldest and the only girl. I got four brothers. I'm the nigga in the house. She treat them like the daughters, and she treat me like the man.
Well, I think with moms.
I promise y'all. But here's the, and I'm going to go away from that because that's a whole avalanche of a conversation. When I say all I want is for y'all to acknowledge what the fuck happened and let's have a conversation from there, right. But they can't. I had a conversation with my daughter a while ago, and I tell y'all I'm one of the most truthful people that there is. That's why people don't like me. I told my daughter, let me tell you something. I don't ever want you to be like me. I ain't shit. And I told her that. And I said that in the way of, well, I know I am a good person, but I have some ways about me that I have inherited from my parents that I don't want you to feel like it's okay to be like. But I am acknowledging those behaviors, and I know I need to fix them. And just because you see them in me, I don't want you to replicate that. Because that ain't the good side of me.
Especially when you make it seem like it's flawless and okay.
Right.
And you are still going on day to day with your life, and it's not, for everyone else, it doesn't look like it's being shattered.
What if his dad said to him, well, you just love women like I used to love women.
Right.
It's okay. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. That shit didn't work out good for you, and it ain't going to work out good for him, and it's not going to work out good for Amir. But you know what I'm saying? It's, you can't think that that's okay.
But I think my relationship with my dad has me consciously.
Right.
It literally, like, the way.
Heightens your awareness of
but how long did it take you to get to that point?
To
I've
do.
I've always been like that
okay.
with my kids. Kayla, who was the oldest, who lived with me, first 2 years of her life, I would not have anybody around her. My kids to this day might randomly.
So you knew something wasn't right when you had the children or before?
I had my kids, prior. Listen, that's why I tell people, you don't need to go to therapy to know if what you're doing is wrong.
What not to do.
You know what you're doing is wrong. You may not know why you're doing it.
It's the navigation. People need to learn how to navigate.
That's the whole thing with therapy.
And that's the doing the work.
There you go.
You go to therapy to get the tools
to work through
I'm telling you,
that's all therapy is.
Because we know the right from wrong. Right. It's just how to navigate through
this. And how can I change this? Like, give me some more resources. Give me some ideas. How can I fix this? Because I don't want to be this way.
Exactly, because this is not who or what I want to be.
And that's why I don't, in any type of addiction, like, that's why I don't, you know, like, judge anybody for how they want to, you know, get rid of their addiction, whether it's sex, food, you know, whatever. It's an addiction, and you have to go through the steps. You can't skip a step, or you're going to be right back at square one.
Mm-hmm. So going back to what Yoshi said earlier, I think our parents and above our parents, mm-hmm. everything was swept under the rug. No right. one wants to acknowledge and admit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But we want to stop that. We right. want to stop the sweeping under the rug. Mm-hmm. We want to stop hiding and mm-hmm. put it on this facade that everything is okay or what I did was what I did. You know, I don't like the fact, and my mom says it too, I did the best I could. Her mother said, I did the best I could.
That's a cop out.
And it's like, okay, I accept your answer.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I have no choice but to accept it.
But hold on, Vaughn. Why not say, I did the best I could, but I know I could have did a hell of a lot better.
Right.
Because that makes
a difference.
It does.
It makes a difference. It mm-hmm. says, I know, I acknowledge what has happened.
Right. And so give it time. Like, Yoshi, I want to go back to where you said you granted grace. Like, I had to realize, like, with a lot of things that I had to grant people grace because our parents were still learning too, because they figured out some things was wrong with what they were doing. So they had to unlearn the behavior. So that's why sometimes they say the parents are the greatest grandparents in the world, because they learn from what they could have done a little better with us. So I just look at it as we do have to grant each other grace, because we're all learning and we're all trying to. They didn't have all the answers. They don't. None of us have all the answers. None of it is right. And Yoshi, I want to applaud you, because you sat there and you told my pow-pow girl that don't be like me, because you want your child to be better than you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a healthy remark, saying that to a child. I say that to my daughter. I say that to my son. Like, I want you all to be better than me. I want you all to make better choices than me, because I messed up.
Okay.
I tell them, like, I tell Coot and I tell Kari, like, I messed up. Like, I want y'all to just make better choices and, you know, select the type of person you want to be with, or, you know, do this. Don't let nothing hold you back. Go away. Do the things that you should do in your life. Mm-hmm. But as parents, that's what we do. We're guiding. And then we see things coming and we want to stop our children or our nieces, nephews, godchildren, somebody that we're mentoring. We see the signs and we try to stop it or try to put some kind of roadblock so they can detour and not make those same choices and you know, mistakes that we had to learn from.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they have to take, and you just sit there and you just, so now I see, because I've told y'all before on this podcast, I could have been a better child. Mm-hmm. But you know, I was so angry about stuff that happened because I held so much stuff in
mm-hmm.
that happened to me as a child, that I was just so angry at everybody. And so my thing was, I was the sweetest child. I always wanted to help everybody because I didn't want nobody to be in harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so angry, and my parents was there to say, just let us help you. But still, I just felt like, no, because I don't want to put nobody in harm's mm-hmm. way. So by all of us talking to our children and our grandchildren and everybody around them, I think we're helping that. We're the therapy generation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we recognize and said, hey, we learn from our other Caucasian counterparts and all those people that embrace therapy already. We learned that, wait a minute, if we do this too, then maybe we can turn out and everything, we can start healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are that therapy generation. But then it's now, like Yoshi Man said, it's so forced now, but you got to want to do it or it's not going to help. Just like you go to the gym, we gotta want to, you know, you want to mm-hmm. go to the gym, but now if you sitting up there just exercising and still, and then you walk out of there and you gonna meet everybody at Chili's to go get the Southwest egg rolls and the margarita, what the hell are you doing?
I'm going to get the Southwest egg rolls.
But I'm going to get them too, but because we can't get them every day.
But is that not is that not hiding behind the diagnosis but not taking the medicine?
Right.
That's the same damn thing.
If medicine is needed and warranted.
If medicine is needed. Right. We can do natural therapies.
I got to check on him too. I always think about Mr. Willie Goins. He's a great therapist. Mm-hmm. He's a realist. Okay. Yes, if you want somebody real, you go to him. But I had the pleasure of working with him for several years and kind of told him he was like my godfather. And he would always say, it's your choices and decisions that you make.
Mm-hmm. Choices and decisions.
What is your choice? You got to look at the choices you are making.
We said that one before.
What are the choices that you are making?
Because it has to be different.
And how's it? And you really do. And I know we got into this all about me era. But then you got to think of how it's going to affect everybody around you.
Yeah.
So I just encourage you all to truly do the work. And if it's some things, and some people are like, why are you bringing it up now? I don't like that now. I can't stand when somebody said, well, what you bringing it up now?
Well, because now I'm ready now to fucking talk about
they
it.
They have the courage enough to talk about it. So let's
and
hear
the
it.
And the tools.
Right.
And right. Listen effectively
I
to
them. I might
them.
Not have had the tools before.
Right.
Maybe, so or maybe I was talking before, but the way I was talking was ineffective.
Right.
So now I know how to articulate my feelings to where you actually hear right. what I am saying.
Right.
Because maybe my silence before was showing you there was a problem.
Right.
But you didn't look into it to see. Right. You see what I'm talking mm-hmm. about?
Right.
You know, one thing I do like about therapy or interventions or whatever, I like the fact that they allow the people to write it out because mm-hmm. sometimes we can't express it. Mm-mm. We don't mm-hmm. know how to articulate it, but mm-hmm. reading it mm-hmm. can be a lot better than you saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a lot of times, write a letter to yourself. Mm-hmm. Write a letter to the people that you want them mm-hmm. that may have affected you.
Right.
And mail those letters out or hand deliver those letters out and have a conversation afterwards, because I think it's important. If you can't speak it, write it.
And even if you can't find that person, writing it out is another way of releasing.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you burn it. And yep. that's a good way too.
Yep.
That is a good way. I get tickled every time I think about the burning thing. That's another time.
I'm going to tell y'all
time.
About this but, series I watched on Netflix. It's called Candy.
Uh-huh.
This is a true
yeah,
story of Candy
it.
Montgomery, who killed her ex-lover's wife in the heat of passion. You know, it was a conversation that came out that she was sleeping with the ladies. But she said what made her, she killed this woman with an axe 43 times. Mm. That's honey.
Yeah.
You already know that woman wasn't there when she killed that woman. But I'm going to tell you what happened in that movie. When Candy was a little girl, she got hit in the head and the mama said, she shushed her. And she said, you're making everyone in here angry about expressing your emotions and crying and this, that, and the other. You just need to sit down and be still and don't talk and just be seen and not heard. And so from that day forward, she bottled all her emotions in that whole lifetime from 10 years old up until the time she killed that woman. And so it's a dissociative emotion. When she went to that lady and they got into the fight, that lady's baby was crying and she shushed her. And a trigger went off on her from when her mom shushed her. And all that rage from all those years came out. And that's how she killed that woman as violently the way she is. So if you think this shit is fake, go watch that movie or that miniseries, because I saw it. I saw how she went under hypnosis and how she came out in a rage when that therapist said, shh. I'm telling y'all, mm-hmm. this is some real live shit.
Mm. It is.
It really is.
And that's why it's based on a true story.
That's right. y'all can sit around here if you want to fuck around and find out if you want to. What's the song by Ari Lennox? Smoke.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Fuck around and find out if you want
you
to.
You try your brother, mother, sister, Jesus, but don't try me.
You don't know what these people got.
And get the smoke.
Okay, but I hope this was a very therapeutic podcast for someone today. Mm-hmm. This is a new year. I hope you dive into therapy or learning a little more about yourself through self-awareness.
Mm.
And just, you know, getting all those tools in that tool bag you need to combat anything you got going on that is not uplifting and empowering in your life.
Mm-hmm. I know, I think a couple of episodes ago, leading into the new year, I think Sue challenged everyone to find a word for the year,
mm-hmm.
find your word for the year and mm-hmm. embrace that word. Did y'all mm-hmm. do that?
I have not yet found my word, but I found my theme.
I have.
Okay, I found my word.
My theme for this year is no rush.
Okay. I'm taking
my time.
Take your time.
Don't rush. I found it when I was looking at some affirmations this morning that I saved
mm-hmm.
in my Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the post. And I posted it. So you all, if you follow me on Instagram or if you're my friend on Facebook, you will see that I posted it. And I said, I think I found my theme for the year. I'm not going to rush.
I think mine is in line with yours. My word, well, I didn't do a theme. I did a word,
mm-hmm.
Which is intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are intentional, you're not rushing. You mm-hmm. are not saying you're vetting out,
yeah.
but you are taking your time and making decisions.
Right.
And you are being intentional about your mm-hmm. space, your energy, your connections, your right. community. You're being intentional about
right.
everything that on purpose.
Right.
Intentional on purpose, and that is in line with not rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do a reword every year. So mm-hmm. it's like rejuvenate, restart, mm-hmm. you know, is the ability yes. to do it over mm-hmm. and do it right. And you know what my reword this year is?
What is that?
Respond.
Mm-hmm.
Everything having to deal with me, how the outcome is how I respond to it.
Okay, so it's how your
so it can response. Be positive or it can be negative. So respond or response. That's my word. I have to look back or look into every situation and decide how I am going to respond to this because it can be life or death. It can be positive or negative. It can be the beginning of something. It can be the end of something. But how I respond determines all of that.
Okay.
And that shit was deep for me. Because I know I can fly off the handle or I can sit back and think about some shit and be like, you know what? You know what I should have said? You know what I should have did? But now I'm just going to learn how to respond more effectively so it can be more conducive for my well-being.
Okay, I like that.
And so we will just end the show with that. Like, and we want to hear from you knowing what is your theme of your word for the year? Because I think that's a great thing. So that's your homework, y'all. I'm giving out homework.
Because
we're
gonna
do some
that
CBT.
Is
going to
hold us accountable.
Yep.
If we say this is what our theme, our word for the year,
mm-hmm.
we need to be conscious by
yeah.
it yeah, and live by it.
And so that's your homework, y'all. We're going to do some CBT mm-hmm. Interventions, and we want to know.
Yes.
So, Vaughn, tell them where they can send it to,
because okay.
I sure can't.
Well, you can send us an email at the thevarynecessarypodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what your word or your theme for the year 2025. Do y'all remember 2025? 25 years ago was year two, Y2K. 25
yeah,
no, years
I had
ago.
A baby.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
God, we're getting old. So, yes, and never miss an episode. You can catch us on all platforms at The Very, V-A-R-Y, Necessary Podcast. And send us an also very necessary letter. Just let us know what you're thinking about for year 2025.
All right. We out.
We out.
Get that homework done.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah.